everybody, and welcome once again to our podcast, Could Be Your Life. And we are, my name is Caroline.
My name is Jeff. You messed up.
You know what? Shut up. And we are in the middle of our listener request month.
That's right. That is week 3/2.
Yeah. And we are taking on The Pillows.
The Pillows, which some nice fellow requested for us on RYM.
Yes.
In addition to two other bands that I would have rather done. But you know what? That's just life, man. Random number generators don't always go the way you want them to. And
rarely, but I was sure happy.
Well, I'm glad you were happy. we're talking about The Pillows today. And you like this band, right?
Yeah, I do. I honestly could probably credit them with really getting me into music.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Which is weird because, well, getting me into music again, because I was into music, and then, like, a lot of obnoxious kids, I had an anime phase, and then I only listened to anime music, which is pretty much all really bad.
Yeah.
But then The Pillows came into my life, and I was like, oh, wait, this is the kind of music I actually want to listen to. And, because it's got guitars and shit.
It's rock and roll.
Yeah, well, sort of. They try. They got some hard rocking tunes.
This is rock and roll.
No, it is.
What else would you call it?
They're like power pop, I guess.
Power pop is rock and roll.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I really don't like power pop. But
yeah,
we've discussed this several
times.
I know, but I really liked this band when I was younger, and I still really like them today.
Yeah, it was on my mind that you're dissing on power pop on our show frequently.
Yeah, but I like them.
Yet I know
you're
a fan of this band.
I was like 12 when I got into them. I wasn't as discerning as I am now.
Fair enough. But you know, it's funny. We had friend of the podcast Nathan on recently, who also said that he was not a power pop fan, and yet he sent me a message this week saying that Runner's High is one of the best rock albums of the 90s.
It's really good.
I was surprised, honestly.
This band is pretty infectious. They can get a lot of people you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like I've only said negative shit so far.
I can't imagine you really hating this band.
No, I don't. I don't dislike them even. In fact, I might even go as far as to say I like them.
Say how sweet.
I mean, they're a nice band.
For the nice people.
Right.
And like, I feel like there's enough stylistic diversity that like you can find some shit you like.
Sure.
I mean, it's all in like kind of it's all under a sheen of power pop, but they try different things.
Sure. And you know, the Fooly Cooly connection is there. I've only watched Fooly Cooly once, but I still remember some of these songs just from like watching that. So that's
I rewatched that.
I mean, something, right?
Yeah, I rewatched that this week because that was a really huge show for me. Mm-hmm. I was like 13 when I saw it, and that's like the age you have to be when you see it. Mm-hmm.
Because it's about boners and stuff?
Yeah. It was, like, at the time, it was, like, the most avant-garde, like, transgressive thing I had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I watched it again. Holds up. It's no longer the most avant-garde and transgressive thing I've ever seen, but hold up. It's really good.
What is it? The video for Marilyn Manson's Dope Show? That's the most avant-garde and transgressive thing I've ever seen. That transgressed the shit out of me.
I do remember seeing that.
That man had boobs.
I know, and I remember my mother being very upset.
That was a very silly video. Good song, though. Dope Show is a good song.
Dope Show's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all stars now.
He knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Marilyn.
Old Marilyn. Isn't everybody in his band, don't they all have, like, mass murderer nicknames?
Their first names are of models, like, and their last names are of serial killers, yes.
There's a
Twiggy Ramirez.
Aha, yes.
And, like, something Wayne Gacy, and, like...
Sure.
Yeah, those are fun guys, the Marilyn Manson guys.
Oh, yeah. I remember, did you ever go through a phase where you read a lot of Chuck Klosterman?
I've dabbled. I wouldn't say I read a lot, though.
Well, I did. And it is a little bit. and there, in one of his essay collections, I think it's Chuck Klosterman 4, he talks about, like, Marilyn Manson's, like, autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Marilyn Manson and his bandmates, like, were throwing lunch meat at a deaf groupie.
Yeah, yeah. I've,
and he was like, man, my life is so empty.
Are you sure that was Chuck Klosterman? Because Jimmy Rigatis wrote a piece about Marilyn Manson's autobiography, actually.
I mean, they both could have.
Sure, but, you know, it just seems like a coincidence.
I wasn't a big DeRogatis reader.
Well, I wasn't either. I just had this book of his called Milk It that was
a
collection of his
columns
from the 90s. Apparently Marilyn Manson and his bandmates used to play a game where they would all take turns spitting into a groupie's asshole and, like, trying to... You know, get it in there.
What is with people and assholes?
I don't know. Oh, also, apparently, there was an occasion where two of their bandmates taped their dicks together and fucked a groupie with their bonded dicks.
I don't even know the logistics of
that. Yeah, I don't know how that's possible. But,
like, how the fuck? Yeah, you know what? Probably because they made it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably a lot of these stories are made up because, you know, Marilyn Manson is shocking. But,
yeah.
But, you know, it makes for good reading.
I guess, if you like to read about sexual depravity.
I kind of do. I'm not.
Yeah, gonna... which I guess, looking at my book collection.
Right.
So, but anyway.
Aren't you into, like, Marquis de Sade and shit?
I would hardly say I'm into him, but I have read him.
All right, fair enough. But I've
read, like, Georges Bataille and people like that.
Okay.
So anyway, this band, The Pillows,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure they have some tales.
Oh, yeah.
They
tape their dicks together.
I'm just wrecking some people.
Sure. Yeah, this is a power pop band that is probably most famous for doing the soundtrack for notable anime miniseries Fooly Cooly, FLCL, for those of you who have only seen the name in print and never heard it said aloud.
Yeah.
It's an interesting match, Fooly Cooly,
for those of you who think that if you say it in a Japanese accent, that makes it less embarrassing. I got news for you, pal. It doesn't.
No, indeed. Kind of an interesting matchup, actually, because Fooly Cooly is a disturbed piece of work, kind of.
Yeah, it is.
And the Pillows' music is friendly. So I think maybe the Pillows gives Fooly Cooly a certain lightness of touch that... You know, like, if you had replaced all that shit with, like, industrial music, you could have turned Fooly Cooly into, like, a Lynchian nightmare, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you really could have, because it really is, like, there's so much, like, body horror.
Oh,
and...
yeah. No, it's a totally disturbed thing, but, like, and you know, I guess it's sort of a, you know, parable for adolescence and sexual awakening and coming of age and all
that. Well,
that's
literally what it is.
Well, right. Well, right, but, you know, he's got the big growth on his forehead, and, you know, it's clearly a dick. that kind of thing.
Yeah. See, that's the thing where, like, when I first saw that show, I was like, I cannot let my parents know that I've seen this because they're going to not let me watch it.
Right. But, you know, the pillows kind of give it a dash of teen spirit rather than, they make it a friendlier proposition rather than, accentuating the horror of it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a funny show too. Yeah, sure, like sure. It's a comedy. Mm. There's a lot of, it's not purely a comedy, but it is one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think it's a good match.
Yeah, I do too. And the Pillows, I basically think they're an okay band.
Yeah.
I mean, this is another week where basically all their albums sound the same.
Yeah, pretty much. At least the ones that we've talked about.
Right. So I'm kind of going to struggle to make insightful commentary about this stuff, I guess.
Sure.
But that's where you come in, Caroline, because you're a bigger fan of this band than I am. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, you said at the end of last week's episode that you had a lot to say about the Pillows.
I may have overestimated how much I have to say. But they were formed in 1989. They released a bunch of albums nobody gives a shit about. Then in 1997, on the scene they come with Please Mr. Lost Man. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty good.
Well, those early albums, aren't they kind of a different sound also?
Yeah, like they're like sophistopop.
Really?
Which, who could care?
Right. Japanese sophistopop.
Well, we've all got to do something with our lives.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you think it's mostly the Fooly Cooly connection that accounts for the Pillows' popularity?
I think in the U.S. it is.
Yeah.
I think they're more popular in Japan.
Are they like a big band in Japan?
I don't know if they're a big band, but I mean, they were on a major label. Mm-hmm. Like, before the Fooly Cooly thing.
Do you know if they were, like, well-known before the Fooly Cooly thing? Like, was that a get for Fooly Cooly to have the Pillows do the soundtrack?
I don't know.
Well, I thought maybe you did. I'm sorry.
No, I think that it was kind of a get. I think that it really, it expanded their fan base, like, outside of Japan, but I think they were well-known mm-hmm. in Japan. Because, like, the song Trip Dancer on this album was, like, used as ending music on a radio station's, like, song. Like, a radio station's, like, show. Mm. NHK FM, which I'd imagine is a pretty big radio station because NHK is, like, a huge TV channel. Mm. So I think they're pretty well known.
Okay.
They weren't, like, a small indie band that was being given a chance.
Right.
So.
Okay. So, Please Mr. Lost Man, 1997.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not entirely sure if it's just because this is the first one I listened to, but I think this might be their best album, actually.
Alright. I think that might... Actually, a lot of people do agree with you. This is definitely a favorite of people. Mm-hmm.
I feel like the songs on here are consistently strong melodically. Like, they're all fairly interesting. I can sort of, like, distinguish them in my head looking at this track list here.
Sure.
Whereas I can't say that about all their other records.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe, like, the sort of textures of this album seem a little more spacey, psychedelic to me than maybe later stuff, which is just a little more generically power pop.
Yeah, I can see that.
I like this record.
Do you know the song Stalker is what made me want to play bass?
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that's one of the ones from Fooly Cooly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remembered that. Yeah, that's a cool song, and bit misleading, actually, because it's a little darker than the rest of the material.
It really is. I was surprised that it was on this album.
Yeah, it starts it off on kind of an ominous note, but the rest of it is pretty cheery.
Yeah.
Title track, Please Mr. Lost Man. It's kind of like been in my head all week. It's like really catchy.
There you go.
Please Mr. Lost Man.
Like, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then there's all the stuff in between.
Yeah.
which is also good, but
Suicide Driving?
Yeah, Suicide Driving or Diving.
Oh, is it diving?
It's what it says on
my glasses. I have my glasses on. Right, I can't see shit.
We'll put them on.
Well, don't tell me how to live.
All right. Strange Chameleon, sort of stretching those legs a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good song. It's surprisingly, considering how long it is.
Yeah.
It is good.
Yeah, most power pop bands aren't well known for their great 6.5 minute songs, but but here we are.
Yeah.
What else?
But I think like they have more than just power pop. Like they do try to do different stuff.
Yeah.
And take influence different things.
Like what?
Well, like I think they do definitely take like psychedelic influence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that they're big Beatles fans, so...
There's definitely a Beatle-y...
Like, heavy Beatles influence.
Yeah, like Trip Dancer, totally.
Yeah.
Definitely.
There's a very heavy Pixies influence, too.
That, I mean, well, there's the Kim Deal song on the later album.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
They're not as good, but...
I guess I don't so much hear the Pixies influence, like, sonically, like...
Yeah.
But, I mean, I believe it, because they named one of their songs Kim Deal. That would seem to be evidence.
Yeah. Like, every once in a while, they'll have, like, kind of a heavy bass line that's like, oh, yeah, I can kind of hear where they were going with that.
What's the the fight song from Fooly Cooly, you know, that has...
Advice?
The one that's got, like, the crazy-ass bass line and shit. It's like...
Yeah, Advice.
Bice?
Advice.
Advice.
Yes.
That's not on any of these albums, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Which one?
It's on Happy Bivouac.
Oh.
So, yeah. Chill out, buddy.
All right, I guess we'll get to it. I guess I missed it.
It's the last song on it.
Oh, maybe I was just worn down at that point.
Maybe.
Shit is too happy.
That is true. That's why I'm so surprised that I like it. It is very happy.
So, I mean, but, what do you think of this record, though?
I think I like their other three after this better, but I like it.
From what I understand, like, yeah, this sort of block here from Please Mr. Lost Man up to Happy Bivouac, I think.
Yeah, they never got better than that.
Yeah, that's basically what people point to is, like, Prime Pillows.
Yeah. And after that, they've just kind of been like...
Same old, same old.
Yeah, not really that good.
Well, that's the thing about power pop. I mean...
How long could it go on?
Right, right. I mean, They Might Be Giants have been pumping out the same shit for, like, 30 years now, you know? I don't know if you've listened to a recent They Might Be Giants album, but,
No, I listened to, No.
That's a good album, actually.
Kids album,
I like that record. If I had kids, I would play it for them.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't. Thank fuck.
Yeah. I'm sure you'd be a good dad.
I don't know. How can I raise a kid in this screwy world?
I know. That's what I'm saying, but...
ISIS is trying to kill us all.
Sure.
Fucking... Everything's going to shit here.
I don't know.
Our economy's in the toilet.
Yeah. The economy.
Mm.
It's in a shambles.
You're in Obama's America.
I'm going to be so sad when we can't say that anymore. That's what I'm going to miss the most about him.
I'm going to miss all the sweet puns that Republicans had on his name.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, bummer.
Obamianism.
Yeah. What else?
I think those are the big ones.
True. But, you know, they've also got, like, the lamestream media.
Oh, they're always going to be saying that.
Right. So, you know. I was thinking about starting a band called the Liberal Media, but it's a little too obvious, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a little on the nose.
I'm trying to help you, but I can't.
Come up with a band name?
Yeah, help with a name that gets the same point across, but less obviously.
The Liberal Media.
Yeah. But on the like liberal end, you do have people who they're still saying faux news.
Right, right.
It's like, come on, you guys. We all get it.
Can we have some like productive discussion instead of just making puns out of things' names?
No. We can't.
I guess we can't.
No, this is America now. But
this country.
I don't know.
I don't know about this country, man.
This stupid country.
We're in for some rough times, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But you'll always have us, guys.
Maybe. Unless we fucking die.
Well, we could all die.
Well, you know.
At any time.
Unless we get shot.
Yeah, but my dad, he's always like, you can never account for all the stuff that could happen to you, so you shouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's generally my philosophy, but,
yeah.
Like, there's really nothing to stop anyone from killing you at any moment.
No, dying doesn't make me nervous. Embarrassment and humiliation is what makes me nervous. I would much rather die than be embarrassed.
I'm not scared of being dead. I'm scared of dying, though. Like, dying is probably scary as shit, you know? But once you're dead, you're just dead. Who cares?
Yeah, and you don't know what's going on.
Right. Like, it's all good after that.
Although, I do not like it when people try to tell me that more shit is going to happen to me once I'm dead. I'm like, nope. I want it to be over. I am so comforted by just a never-ending... black abyss that I'm not even going to be conscious of because I'm going to be nothing.
I feel that.
I'm so much more comforted by that.
I feel that.
Right? Yeah.
You know what is the least fucking comforting thing that religious people say?
What?
That God has a plan.
Yeah, because then it's like, so I have no agency over
right.
my life.
Well, right, exactly. Like, God's plan is unknowable. So to us, it basically just looks like totally fucking random bullshit.
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't really matter if God has a plan or not. I can only interpret it as totally random bullshit that I have no way of foreseeing or doing anything about.
Yeah.
Like, that's not comforting. That's just as scary as fucking, like, chaos and anarchy to me.
It's worse.
It's indistinguishable from chaos and anarchy. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. So this is what y'all come to the podcast for, right? Heavy theological discussions?
Yeah, I'm pretty smart. So yeah, please, Mr. Lost Man, what else about this album?
I was kind of ready to move on right, to the next
fine.
One.
We barely talked about it, but that's all right.
Whatever.
Little Busters.
It's good.
Obviously, the title track comes at the end of every episode of Fooly Cooly.
Yep.
It's there. It's a sing-along, or it would be if I could understand the words.
If the kids sing out the future... Maybe kids don't need their masters.
Is that what he's saying?
Just waiting for the little busters. Oh, yeah.
If the kids sing out the future.
See, you get it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know, man. His accent is hard to decipher.
Yeah, well, if you were going on Fooly Cooly fan sites when you were in seventh grade.
I would be well aware of the lyrics to Little Busters.
Yep.
I like this record cover.
The little kid with the lion?
Yeah.
They have some good album covers.
They do, yeah. The Happy Bivouac one is good, too.
Yeah, that one's
That's what it's
favorite.
Called, right? I didn't just make that up.
Happy Bivouac, yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. There's other stuff on this that's good, too.
Yeah. I like the opener. Welcome to Bubble Town's Happy Zoo.
Yeah, that's a Beatles-y kind of song.
Yeah, I think they're kind of going for like a Sgt. Pepper's kind of thing.
This is the pillow Sgt. Pepper's?
Well, no, I just mean that song. I don't think that this is their Sgt. Pepper's. Which, guys, we could all agree. That album's not that good, right?
Sgt. Pepper? I like Sgt. Pepper.
No, it's... Like, I like songs on it, but why is that... Why does that have the place that it has in the culture versus, like...
Because it's got a bunch of crazy sound effects on it, dude.
I guess, but, like...
It's got that big chord at the end of A Day in the Life.
Yeah, that was in, Bambi Meets Godzilla, a classic of independent animation that I was obsessed with.
That is a good one.
That is a great one.
Bambi versus Godzilla. I don't know. I mean, Sgt. Pepper, I don't know, just like the arrangements are so ornate for, especially for its time.
I don't know.
I mean,
but you look at like Revolver and Rubber Soul, those are both better albums.
I would disagree, actually. I like Sgt. Pepper better than either of them. Especially Rubber Soul, okay. Which I maintain is overrated as shit. But
yeah,
that's just me.
Well, I haven't listened to a Beatles album that wasn't the White Album since I was like 15, so...
I feel like nobody acknowledges that there are at least 4 or 5 shitty songs on Rubber Soul. And that's like at least.
Yeah. Well, people don't... I like to admit that the Beatles had shitty songs.
Yeah, they really don't.
Which is still, like, and I'm saying I like the Beatles. I don't think the Beatles are a bad band. I think I was bitter for a long time about people trying to make them out to be more inventive than they were.
Look, man, any band that is consistently hailed as the greatest band of all time is necessarily overrated.
Yeah. Like,
that's just the way it is. I'm sorry.
No, that's true. Mm. But, I mean, but I love the White Album, and I like Revolver a lot. I like the Beatles. I just, like, there's nothing to talk about with those guys anymore.
Yeah, can't we just be done with the Beatles? Can't we just put
also,
them away?
Can we talk about the first two Yoko Ono records? Because those are great. Fly and Plastic Ono Band are amazing.
I haven't listened to them.
They're really good. I think you would like them. Like, there's a lot of really weird guitar and, like... They're just really, really good. you'll like them.
All right. I do like guitar.
Like, at least listen. Yeah, well, listen to, like, a song like Don't Worry, Kyoko. Like, the guitar on that is so good. And, like, plenty of bands have done, like, covers of that song.
Hmm.
Like, I think the B-52s did a cover of it.
Does John play on those records?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, he does. And that actually kind of made me really appreciate him as a guitar player, because of, I was like, oh, he can do, like, cool shit like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, I mean, John got more avant-garde as, like, the years went on, you know?
Yeah, and then he kind of went back and made, like, what was that last? Double Fantasy? Double Fantasy fucking sucks.
Yeah, and then he got shot like an asshole.
Yeah, you ever see Chapter 27?
No. Is that the one about Mark David Chapman or whatever his name is?
He's got this crazy Blanche DuPont accent that he's trying to do. It's so fun. I highly recommend it if you're a fan of, like, really, of just huge misfires in film.
Yeah.
So
he was, like, obsessed with Catcher in the Rye, right?
Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Why would Catcher in the Rye drive you to murder?
I don't know. See, that's what I don't get. But I feel like if people are going to murder, they'll find anything that'll get them on that path.
Hey, unrelated tangent?
Yeah.
Fucking, I was looking at this article that asked, like, 50 writers and literary critics from around the world, meaning not America.
Sure.
What is the greatest American novel? Or what are the three greatest American novels?
Sure.
The most frequently cited?
Catcher in the Rye. Really? Was Infinite Jest on that? Are they?
I don't know if anyone said Infinite Jest, but, like, come on, man. Catcher in the Rye is your idea of a great American novel?
Yeah, I know.
We've done a lot better.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Although the most frequently cited author was William Faulkner, which I am...
That I would agree with.
I am okay with.
Yeah, because William Faulkner is great.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, Catch from the Rye.
Get some Why? Invisible Man by Ralph Ellis up in this piece.
Fucking...
Yeah! But...
Catch 22, it's kind of funny, fucking Moby Dick, something like that.
But Moby Dick is
Catcher
great.
Catcher in the Rye. Anyway,
I don't know.
What were you saying?
I was saying that like, I need to reread Infinite Jest. I read it in high school, and then like, I kind of soured on David Foster Wallace, just because I kind of soured on like male authors, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But, like, it's amazing the stuff from that book and from other, like, his other stuff that I've read that's really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. That, like, just some shit I can't shake that comes from that book, and I'm like, I need to read it again.
Yeah, I'll probably read it again at some point, because I'm sure I'd get more out of it now than I did back then, but...
Yeah, I think so, too.
I'm a much better reader now than I was, like...
Yeah, well, I've been to college, so, like, I understand...
Right. I know a thing or two.
Yeah. And it's not like I didn't understand symbolism and stuff as a kid. It's just, like, I've also lived more of life.
Right. You just, like, understand everything better, maybe.
A little bit.
Right.
I mean, I'm still pretty sheltered and... stupid, but
oh, you know,
I'll get there.
It is
anyway. Nice. This album,
yeah, Little Busters, title track, good opening track, Beatles,
yeah.
What
Blues
else?
Blues Drive Monster, that song is great.
Is it
Blues Drive Monster? Yeah,
I don't remember it.
Blues Drive Monster. You don't remember that?
No.
It's a really good song. You should listen to it again.
Okay. What else is good?
Trisha. That's kind of a big song for them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, I think that was a single. I think that was a pretty big single for them.
Why are some of their song titles in all caps, but others are not?
Maybe it's a Japanese thing.
It is. I think it is a Japanese thing, because...
Like, when stuff that's in English, when they put it in English, I don't know.
Right.
It's a complex... It's a complex language. I don't know what they're doing.
See, man, like, Paige and I are planning on going to Japan for our honeymoon, and, I've been, like, sort of trying to dip my toes into, like, you know, just learning a smidgen of Japanese or whatever.
Yeah. You on that Duolingo?
They don't have it on Duolingo.
What?
Yeah. Ain't that some shit?
Weird. I would think that would be a big one.
Yeah. Maybe it's just too hard.
Maybe.
Where do you even begin? That's the thing. Where the fuck do you even begin? Do you learn hiragana first? Like, is that what you're supposed to do?
I think so.
Yeah. It's too hard. Like, I don't know. I've thought, like, okay, like, I can probably learn a little Japanese before I go. And then I just look at that hiragana chart and I'm like, there's no fucking way this is ever going to happen for me. I'm just going to be a clueless American in Japan and I'm just going to have to live with that.
Yeah. Like, it would be easier for you to learn Korean than to learn Japanese.
You think?
Yeah, well, because the Korean, writing system is basically just an alphabet. Like, it's not as complex. Well, they don't have three different writing systems. Right. And, like, I don't know about the spoken language, but, like, to read, to learn how to read Korean, I hear, is not as hard as it seems like it would be.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know.
Japan is a complicated place.
Yeah. So's here.
Yeah.
So's everywhere.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Every place sucks. Fuck this planet.
Yeah, I like the relationship we have with Japan. The kind of mutual fascination, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely is a thing. I do like that.
It's interesting. I think
we've gotten good art.
Because we have a lot in common, but also we're very different, too.
Yeah, like, the stuff that we have in common, we express in really different ways, which is interesting.
Japan is cool.
Like, I don't know if an American band could get away with being this happy.
Well, not today, I mean. You know. But
well,
like in
well
the,
there's nothing to smile about today.
In the 80s, all bands were this happy.
What?
Listen to Huey Lewis and the News. That's a happy-ass group of dudes.
Happy to be stuck with you.
Mm-hmm. They're happy to be square.
Sure. Do you remember the Sesame Street, It's Hip to Be a Square?
No.
I loved that as a little kid.
Yeah.
I loved it.
What else about Little Busters?
It's got some, you know, ballads on it, which...
Like what?
One Life.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about these ballads, bro.
Man, Caroline, you are not shouldering this episode. Like,
no,
I'm
not.
I was hoping you were going
I
to.
I never do. I never do.
Look, y'all, I don't have time to fully absorb Six Pillows albums and have interesting things to say about all of them, all right? This entire podcast is a sham, especially this month. It was a bad idea. We're going to keep doing it, but it was a bad idea. what can I say about this shit? They're Japanese. They play happy guitar pop. And they did soundtrack for an anime, and they're okay. Like, that's the Pillows. Honestly, we should just end the episode, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we can't.
All right. Let's talk about Runner's High, then.
Runner's High. This is a very good one. This is where they get you.
According to Nathan, It's one of the best rock albums of the 90s.
I don't agree with that assertion, but I don't think he's
off base.
No. Not at all. Because this has, oh man, this has White Ash on it. That song rules.
That is pretty cool.
Sad, Sad Kitty.
Sad, Sad Kitty is okay.
I love it.
I like Instant Music a lot, though.
Yeah, that's very Beatles.
Yeah, definitely. You got that cool instrumental and Paper Triangle.
Yeah, that's really good. They do good instrumentals.
They do, actually. I'll give them that.
Yeah. Like Borderline Case. Let's see if that's true or not.
What about them?
They're good. Okay. They're really good. No, this is just like a it's just a really, really good rock album. And what more can you ask for in life? Well, in life,
economic stability. A sense of meaning and purpose.
Yeah. This is a very heavy episode. This really is. Really goes against this music.
It's been a rough couple of weeks for America. All right. I think it really has. It's weighing heavily on all of us.
It is.
Certainly on me.
Yeah. No, I'm not looking forward to the rest of my life.
Yeah. I don't know. Everything sucks, man.
Everybody knows shit's fucked.
Hey, maybe things will get better.
Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe.
Well, you know, you gotta maintain optimism. Or else what do you got?
I don't know.
You gotta be the change you wish to see in the world.
How the hell am I supposed to do that?
I don't know. Just don't be a dick.
Well, I think I'm not. Am I a dick?
No.
Well, there you go.
I don't think so.
Thank you.
You're all right.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've seen worse.
Thank you. You sound like my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad. I've seen worse.
What else is good? Man, I feel like I'm letting Nathan down, because he said he was jealous that I was going to hear it for the first time, and I was just like, yeah, this is power pop, all right. That was basically my reaction to it. I'm sorry, Nathan. If you want to tell me why this is better than power pop, I'm all ears.
Tell me why.
This is better than power pop.
Is it hard to make arrangements with yourself when you're old
enough to repay, but young enough
to sell? That's a better album than this album.
Yeah, after the Gold Rush, I'll give it the edge.
That was huge. Because that was like an album that my mom like listened to a lot, and she gave it to me, and I was just like, holy shit.
You know, Atlas Sound did a cover of Only Love Can Break Your Heart.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's pretty good, too. You should look it up.
Do you remember there was a cover of Only Love Can Break Your Heart in the soundtrack to Big Daddy?
By who?
I don't know, but it was there.
Did you own the soundtrack to Big Daddy?
No, I just watched the movie a lot, and then when I heard that album for the first time, I was like, oh, wait. I watched that movie a lot as a kid. Yeah.
Dude, Big Daddy features one of my favorite scenes in any Adam Sandler movie, because...
High praise indeed!
Yes, absolutely. No, it's the fucking courtroom scene at the end of the movie, because...
My son deserves this, kid.
Right, okay. So, the plot of Big Daddy, like, this kid shows up at his door, and he takes him in. He essentially kidnaps this child, right? It's his friend's illegitimate child, but he doesn't know this, apparently.
Yeah.
Because
he wants to prove to his ex-girlfriend that he can be
that
mature.
That he's responsible,
so he kidnaps a kid.
So he kidnaps a child. And he lies to a social worker about it, right? So he ends up in court for this, and all these people in his life stand up for Adam Sandler, including his dad, who takes the stand, and his dad's an asshole, and he's like constantly like talking about how his son's a fuck up and he doesn't like him and shit. And then like Adam Sandler gives this speech about, you know, fucking, I'm a better person now and I can take care of children, blah, blah, blah. And finally his dad goes, my son deserves this, kid. And the entire courtroom cheers and erupts in applause. And then the judge like wraps the gavel and goes, are you kidding? You kidnapped this child. You should go to prison.
Like, it was great.
It was amazing. Because it just totally deflates this. Because so many Adam Sandler movies end that way, with this big like courtroom climax.
Really?
Fucking I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry ends that way.
All right, well...
some other one does too. I don't know, but
I just remember like
the way the film the scene plays out. You totally expect like, okay, he's, you know, he's won over the court and he's going home with this kid. And the fucking judge like immediately pops that balloon. It's amazing, actually. I
really
sincerely love that scene.
I also saw that movie in the theater.
I probably did too. It was so long ago though.
Yeah, I saw it like it came out in the summer. I was on vacation with my parents and like some other family.
Sticks,
we all went to see it.
Styx is the greatest band ever, and the only reason they get a bad rap is because most critics are cynical assholes.
What more can you say?
It's a line from that movie.
I know.
Okay. You made no acknowledgement of it.
Well, I was nodding. I was nodding sagely.
For the benefit of the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a very visual show,
right.
Which is why I get to wear sweatpants.
Right. You have to read aloud the stage directions, Caroline.
Ah. All right. Pursued by a bear. People love busting that one out.
It is.
It's like Shakespeare people, that's how we all know that we're Shakespeare people.
It's a winner's tale, right?
I think so. Yeah, it is. It is.
What's your favorite Adam Sandler movie?
Probably Big Daddy.
Really?
I don't know. Well, I haven't seen like Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison in a long time.
Wow.
Does Punch Drunk Love count as an Adam Sandler movie?
No. I would say like movies where Adam Sandler is clearly the primary creative force behind it.
Okay.
Man, yeah, how long has it
Billy
been since
Madison
you've seen Billy
probably,
Madison?
Yeah, Billy Madison, I haven't seen it in like over 10 years.
Oh, you gotta.
Yeah, I do remember loving it.
I mean, it's basically shit, but it has moments of greatness in it.
I mean, saying if, like, a line like, if peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis. Like, that's immortal.
Sure, sure.
I think it probably deserves the crown for that line alone.
There is a user on RYM who I will not name, who said that I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry is the most important gay film of all time because it's not preaching to the choir, unlike every other gay film ever made.
I thought Armin White said that.
He probably did, but I think this person is a fan of Armin White. Shall
sure.
we say?
Like, I'm happy Armin White exists.
Oh yeah, Armin White. He's a hoot.
He's a hoot. And it's like, I mean,
dude, it's,
I guess
have, we have
kind
you ever
of...
read interviews with him?
No, I've read his.
He is a strange and deeply paranoid person who believes that he
he's
is
a gay black Republican.
Right. Maybe that'll do it to you. I don't know. But he basically believes he's the only honest critic in America, and that, like, every other critic has been, like, either bought off or has succumbed to the hipster cynicism of the new American cinema or something like that.
Bought off by whom?
The industry.
I don't get it.
Yeah, he's a weird guy. But I like having him around.
Yeah. God bless.
Yeah. We need more people throwing wrenches into the establishment, right?
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like,
who wants consensus, man? Consensus
is
boring.
I still have my old spirit of, like, I want to see contrarians. I want to see people like that because, like, I think that we need people. I don't want everybody to think like me.
Right.
If everybody was like me, the Earth would have gone extinct because nobody would have gotten together.
That's probably true.
If everybody was like me, everybody would just stay home. There'd be no society.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what would it be like if everybody was like you?
If everybody was like me?
I think it would be pretty damn chill, but...
I don't know. I'm fundamentally a pretty selfish person, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. Might not be a good thing.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a good thing if everybody was like me.
Anyway, happy bivouac.
No, happy bivouac. This is my favorite.
Okay.
This is... Like, Rush is a really good song,
mm-hmm.
named after, of course, the band Rush, because we all know that they invented the term.
Oh, I was hoping it was named after the robot dog from Mega Man.
Was that named after the band?
Probably not. Although, you know, in Japan, Mega Man's name is Rockman. And, you know, his lady robot assistant is named Roll. His, his, enemy, or his mysterious rival is named Blues. So there's a big music theme going on.
They're doing a real, like, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure thing.
Yeah, he's got a little bird robot pal called, Beat.
I thought it was gonna be Woodstock.
No. Although that would have been doubly clever.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, this album, it does have Rush, as you pointed out.
It has my favorite Pillow song, Last Dinosaur.
Okay. So why is that your favorite Pillow song?
I just think it's a beautiful song, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just got... the guitars are, like, so lush. And it's got, like, this huge energy to it. I think the melody is just beautiful. And it fills me with nostalgia for a time that I would hate to go back to.
When you were 13?
Yeah. He's calling me.
Yeah. I bet
first
you were
of all,
a fun 13-year-old.
You would be way wrong. First of all, I was ugly in anything. I mean, we all were, but...
I'm sure you weren't that bad.
I was.
You should post a picture.
I don't think I have
podcast
any.
Could be, you don't have any pictures from when you were 13?
No, because I knew I was ugly. I didn't want anybody taking pictures of me.
That's true. I kind of hate when people take pictures of me now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, don't document this phase of my life.
Sometimes if I really want to depress myself, I'm like, this is as good as you're ever going to look, and you're completely wasting it.
Oh. You're doing fine, Caroline.
Look, if Hollywood has taught me anything, and it's taught me everything, it's that a woman's peak attractiveness hits at between the ages of like 22 and 25. Mm. And I'm 25. I'm right at the end of it. I'm going way down.
Well, hey. It is what it is.
It's what it is. But that's like...
Look, we're all only getting uglier from here. Like...
Yeah.
You know...
Yeah, at least I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I've still got adult acne.
This is probably the worst I've ever looked. If that makes you feel any better.
Not really.
Really, you can't take a little bit of joy from my misfortune?
No. I want you to be happy.
Oh, well, that's good. This album's also got Kim Deal.
Yep.
Which ends with a chant of "Here Comes Your Man."
No, Backseat Dog ends with "Here Comes Your Man."
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, but then they have the song, Kim Deal. It's like, you know, sing for me, smile, please smile for me.
Kim Deal?
I don't know if he's singing to her.
Are they talking
I don't...
to Kim Deal?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, she does have a beautiful voice.
And a beautiful smile.
Yeah. She's a beautiful lady.
She is.
So, yeah, but that chorus is a little too happy. For a song about Kim Deal, I mean.
Mm. Well, Kim Deal. Well,
she has a pop sensibility, but sure. Like not this much.
It's probably true. Well, hey, they're just really happy that Kim Deal is around, you know?
And
that's something we can all relate to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy Kim Deal is around.
I am, too.
She's great.
She is great. God bless her.
I told you about when I almost met her, right?
Probably, and I probably forgot.
It was at ATP, and it was, like, pretty late, and she was just walking around in her pajamas, and I really wanted to come up and say something to her, but I chickened out.
I would, too.
Yeah, look, Kim Deal is a
hero. I never
want to
bother people. Like, yeah, I never want to bother people.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I used to, when I spotted, like, musicians that I admired and respected, I would try and go up and talk to them. But usually I found that the conversation basically went, hey, I really love your music. And they say, thank you. And then there's an awkward silence. And then I go, well, bye. And then
walk
away.
Like, there's no real satisfaction
in it. Right. And then I realized, like, wait, we actually don't know each other, like, at all. I just like their music a lot. And we have nothing to talk about other than their music, which they probably talk and think about all the time. So they're probably not all that enthused about doing it with me.
Yeah.
I don't really go up to people anymore.
But Kim Deal,
it's not an exaggeration to say that the Pixies changed my life. So, like...
Yeah, same.
So, I feel like Kim Deal deserves a thank you from me.
Yeah. Big ups to Kim Deal.
Yeah, I love Kim Deal. She's great. She's a hero.
She's a hero of mine.
Mm-hmm.
What songs do you like on this album? You got some stuff?
Well, Advice.
Yeah.
You know, that's a banger for sure.
The song you didn't remember was on this album.
Right, well, now that I remember that it's on this album. No, like, I remember that song from the show, and it was cool.
It is. It's a great song.
I don't know. Maybe I, like, went to take a piss or something while that song was playing. I don't know.
Maybe. That's a great song.
And, you know, Happy Bivouac, the title track.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I mean, this is...
Carnival. Carnival's a good song.
Why?
That was in the show.
Why is it good?
It's got, like, that cool... That... It's got a cool riff. And the drums are really good on it. It's got cool drums. Their albums are really well recorded. They're very, like, I think that they could be a little too pristine, but...
Yeah, like, I don't know if they're recorded digitally, but, like, they kind of sound like they are a little bit. Like, there's a lack of, I don't know, there's sort of this, like, lack of warmth I hear in yeah. like the sound on these albums, but
yeah,
I don't know, maybe I'm just imagining it.
No, I don't think so, but like I think now they record digitally and you can probably. Definitely hear it, but yeah, it's not Steve Albini is not recording these guys.
Right.
That would be interesting.
It'd probably sound
Cause,
good
because they got it, like they got I didn't know about them. They're big Pixies fans.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe they're intimidated.
They could probably meet him through Jim O'Rourke.
Yeah, probably.
Since he's hanging out in Japan.
Yeah, I don't know if they live in the same place.
Well, you know, the community of musicians in Japan, though.
Yeah, because Jim O'Rourke lives in Tokyo, and they're from where are they? They're from someplace else. They're from Hokkaido.
It says
I think.
They're currently in Tokyo, though, according to RIM. So,
well, they're from Hokkaido.
Hmm.
But yeah, all right, I'll allow it.
And then there's these last two albums that we're going to talk about
that suck.
Yeah, we. I'm curious what your rationale was for picking these two albums in particular, which are Thank You, My Twilight and Moondust.
Yeah. Well, I picked Thank You, My Twilight because I think this is seen by a lot of people as, like the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one, like, this has a lot of, like, electronic beeps and boops.
Right, right. Definitely a higher beep-boop quotient here.
And the songs are just not as good. Moondust, I don't really know why I picked it. I just picked it. Because it was just a later period.
So I had
period.
To listen to this bullshit for no reason?
Yeah, it was just like, oh, a latter period Pillows album. And oh, it was the 25th anniversary one. That was why I picked it.
Ah, okay. So in 25 years, they basically...
sound the same.
Wore down their formula to the point where...
Yeah.
It basically sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I don't think power pop has that much longevity.
Right,
like,
right.
You can only write so much of it.
Right. There's only so many big fuzzy guitar chords, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, this Thank You, My Twilight. It's beep boops. The songs aren't good. It's not like offensive in any way. Like, you know, I listen to it, I'm just like, it's fine. But who could care about it, you know?
No one.
Exactly, no one.
I mean, it has 15 ratings on RYM.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's the thing, is I feel like the Pillows would be a more popular band amongst music people. Like, if they weren't just...
But they're
just
not...
Like,
all that
anime band.
Right, they're not all that interesting musically.
Yeah,
so,
I guess.
Like, I can see why they're not all that well regarded amongst music people. I think they're well regarded amongst anime fans and just like people who are obsessed with Japan for no reason.
I think they're better. Like, I don't think they're one of the great bands of history, but I think that they're better than just being, like, for anime fans. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like, people that like power pop should like this band.
Let me ask you something, Caroline.
Yes.
Because you had your Japan phase, right?
Yeah.
You were really into anime and...
I was really annoying and, like, kind of casually racist, but thought I wasn't because if I like what they do over there, how can I be racist?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Were you into, like, J-pop and shit, too?
No.
No?
No. I listened to, like, anime theme songs and stuff. I think a lot of it for me was just the social aspect. Like, I made friends that way.
Yeah, see, okay, that's what I was gonna ask, because, like, a lot of, what's the polite way of putting this? Sort of social pariah kids?
Yeah. That's what I was. That's okay. Yeah. I was that.
They seem to have this fixation on Japanese culture. And, like, do you have any theory about this? Like, what that is or where it comes from?
I don't know. See, that's a really good question because I kind of don't know. Because I just sort of got into it randomly. And then I realized, like, oh, this is a thing that people are really into. Like, I liked manga a lot. I wasn't really that into anime. And then I moved, and, like, everybody was super, like, the people that I found, like, approachable or that approached me were, like, super into anime. And it just was like, oh, okay. And I kind of got swept along in it. And, it wasn't, but I don't know why. It's the same as any other, like, nerd thing, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I guess cause that's
true. Because they have the anime thing, and then people think that that's what Japan is like.
Right.
And, which is really bad. Japan is not like anime.
Sure.
It was really interesting, though, for me to go back and watch Fooly Cooly and, like, think about what the landscape of, like, what anime is now. And I'm not super into anime. Like, there's series that I like and stuff that I like, but, like, I'll try to watch anime a lot, and I'm just like, oof.
See,
I kind of just can't do it.
See, the thing is, like, I was a social outcast, but, like, I never had that weeaboo phase. Like,
I think it's bigger with girls.
Maybe, though. Maybe, but, like, a lot of,
I knew guys were into it. But, like, most of the people at my school that were super into it were girls. But, yeah, it's interesting to compare it because, like, the anime landscape now, I think a big part of why I don't like it is, like, sexualizing really young girls. Yeah. That's just kind of expected in a lot of it nowadays. Mm-hmm. And, like, Fooly Cooly is a very sexual show. But it's nowhere, it's not the same thing at all. Like, I don't feel like it, I feel like it sort of sexualizes the female characters from the perspective of the kid, main character. Like, it doesn't feel like ultra male gazy disgusting. I don't know, it's just kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. Man, are we done already?
No, yeah, I don't really have anything to say about Moondust.
Of course you don't. Who
it's not good.
Could?
It's not good.
No, it
is. It's just not. They really did just wear, like they had a period where they were kind of doing more interesting stuff, and then they just settled on, like, they had Happy Bebo Act, which to me is their peak, and then they just settled on that and just, that's all they did for the rest of time, I guess. Like, but Jesus, I remember when Penalty Life was a new album.
I guess the Pillows are just one of those bands that are just going to keep cranking it out because, like, what else are they going to do, basically?
Yeah.
And that's fine.
And they're kind of, like, for the nostalgia that I do have to their music, like, they're kind of, like, they're kind of just like a middling power pop band, I guess. I mean, I really like them, but They're not a band I bust out a lot anymore, because I think I've found stuff that speaks to me more. It was just like, for me at that time, it was a huge deal, and it helped me to get back into music, because I was like, oh, this is what I actually am interested in. Like anime was how I made friends, but this is what I'm actually into, is music. And you know,
and that, and now you're the person you are today,
and now I'm the person I am today, and I don't know how good that is, but I can't be anybody else.
You know what, Caroline?
What?
It ain't bad.
It ain't bad.
Yeah, the pillows are okay.
They're fine.
Okay. So that's that. another shitty episode in the tank. Sorry to whoever requested the pillows. we could have done better, but we didn't. So I guess we should pick next week's band, huh?
Yeah.
Let's hope for a better one this time. we got another request for Talking Heads. Y'all, you can stop requesting the Talking Heads. I mean, I'm gonna put it in because I have to honor every request that comes in, but there are now 7 people who requested Talking Heads. It'll be pretty weird, actually, if, like, they don't get picked for the next couple
of
weeks.
Let's see what happens.
All right. Let's make shit happen here. This is gonna be cray-cray.
Don't say that. Come on.
Cray-cray?
Yeah. Come on, dude.
What, are we past that now?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't get the fucking memo. All right. Number 17 is a request from Daniel Dearlove, who wants us to talk about Susie and the Banshees.
Ooh, cool.
Susie and the Banshees. Now, okay. I mean, I know a good handful of Susie songs, but...
Sure.
It's sort of under the impression that their albums were generally considered to be not great.
Juju is a really good album.
Okay. All right.
So...
I will take that into consideration. As I listen. But nonetheless, next week we'll be talking about Susie and the Banshees... Thank
Get
you.
Get on your black eyeliner.
Oh, yeah. Hair. Oh, yeah. Tease up your hair nice and good.
Yeah.
Thank you to the fellow who requested that, whose name I already deleted. I'm sorry.
Is Danny Dearlove?
Danny Dearlove.
Daniel.
Makes him sound like Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
Daniel Dearlove, thank you for your request. We will gladly talk about Susie and the Banshees. And, it'll be better than this episode was.
You know what? Don't get everybody's hopes up.
Well, I'm. It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
What is it going to be worse?
No.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So next week is Susie and the Banshees. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been our podcast, Could Be Your Life.
See you later.
Bye. With a kiss of the future, let me kiss the knees and masters, chest away, divers and little bastards. Hell yeah. With a kiss, think of the future. Maybe kiss the needs and masters. Just waiting for the little bastards. Oh yeah, yeah. EOS and Nike, not music, they're big as shit. Yeah.
Maybe kids don't need a master, just a way.